Line four's on the right, babe. Hey, it's been a while.
Not that Mackie's back in town.
Yeah, I'm back.
Out old Mackie is back.
Chris McMichael. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How we doing on this Tuesday morning? 2:03, I'm back. I've been back, but I'm back home in the overnights. Let's go. Me and Fleegs rolling with you for 3 hours. 888-808-1019. Hope everybody had a great summer. Had a great August, at least. It's been a while since we've spoken. Everything good? If you listen to me in afternoons last Thursday and Friday, a lot's changed, specifically with the New York Mets. We'll get to the Yankees. We will get to football as we have now made it. Football is this week. There will not be another Sunday until February without it. But let's start with those Mets who are in a completely different position. That's right. And you know me, I'm not ashamed to say it. I called them dead back in, what was it, May?
They are dead.
Dead.
I'm willing to call it now.
Yeah.
This Met team is dead.
June 3rd. Fliegelman had it ready to go. We did not discuss that. And yeah, there it was, ready to go. What a shocker. And even the other day, after that brutal loss to Arizona, I did not call them dead, but I felt like if you were going to try and track down the Braves, who, frankly, I believe in, and I didn't expect to lose 3 out of 4 to Philadelphia, I got to admit. I know they're battered, I know they're injured, but they're the Braves, and this is when they play their best. And I believe in the Braves. Unfortunately. And that's why after that brutal loss, and I was working with Sean, and he was trying to do the whole Evan death of a season, and I wasn't going to go there, but I have to admit, the next game, even though they won that Thursday afternoon game, it just felt like, yeah, I know, bounce back, okay, yeah, you take 2 out of 3 from Arizona, okay, yeah, they're off a 6-game winning streak. Arizona's kind of gone anyway. Yeah, it's nice. You know, 3 weeks ago, I was talking about winning the tiebreaker between the Mets and the Diamondbacks. But ultimately, man, that loss last night, when you're trying to catch the Braves and you're 4 games back, you can't have slip-ups like that. You can't allow those kind of games where you battle back, took a lead, and blow it. Those games kill you. And the Mets continue to bounce back every time I feel this way. Every time you feel this way, I know I'm not alone. I'm just the dope with the microphone who happens to be a Yankee fan, so you get pissed when you hear it. But you felt the same way, too. That was a devastating loss. Devastating. And since that moment, this team is not lost. It's 5 consecutive games. I don't care about the White Sox. I don't care who they're playing. They're playing good baseball. They've won 5 in a row. They're a half a game back of the idle Atlanta Braves. And we'll get into their easy schedule moving forward. But this Met team, the two things that jump out at me, one is obviously the resilience, right? They just continue every time you think they've got this gut punch. And also, I mean, they've fallen back too, let's be fair. They were right there to be the first wild card team. With the last time they played the Braves, they were right there to be the first wild card team. And then they floundered. It has not been a straight path, even though they've been very good, and I know all the numbers. I'm not big on giving you all the records since this date and since that date. The Mets have played very well, one of the two best teams in baseball, you know, for this second half and even going back further than that. We all know that, but it hasn't been this steady rise. There's been ups. There's been incredible highs. There's been lows. There's been devastating losses. It has been a little bit of a roller coaster inside what has ultimately been a pretty damn good stretch, getting all the way now to 10 games over 500 from where they were 11 games under 500. But there has been this nature of allowing it to slip back, getting that brutal loss, and bouncing back. And right now, they're on one of these runs where they've just found a way to win. And that's the other thing that jumps out at me. Yes, the resilience. Yes, the manager. And yes, Lindor. right? I know how, you know, the Lindor conversation has been what I thought maybe the Pete Alonso conversation would have been. This, it's been the second half conversation, how good he is, the team leader he is, the MVP chance. I get it all. And he's uber impressive, and he's having an incredible season. And if it wasn't for Ohtani possibly being the first 50-50 guy we've ever seen, he'd be damn much in a better standing for the MVP. But he's been good now since May. He's been good for a long time. He's been good since that meeting. He's been good since, obviously, moving to the leadoff spot. And this offense has carried them for a lot of the stretch of this season, and especially that real stretch run right after the walk-off home run against Miami from J.D. Martinez. It has been the offense, and I've told you, this Met team isn't suited to do anything else but bludgeon you. And if the offense was going to go through its struggles and not hit with runners in scoring position and really, you know, get guys on but flounder and be an average offense, they weren't going to be good enough. I've been saying it and saying it and saying it, and I believed it. But what this stretch has really proved to me almost, or has really made me feel better about this Met team trying to catch this Atlanta Braves team, is it's the pitching. Now, the starting pitching has been better than we thought all year. From the jump, it's been a pleasant surprise. Right? We thought it was going to be the real problem with this team. We're clamoring, go sign Snell. Go sign Montgomery. Bring in someone else. The rotation without Senga is not good enough. Then Senga goes down. And we always thought it was going to be the main issue heading into the season. And it's never been. But it's also not been something good enough to carry them. It's been just steady enough. And it hasn't typically given you innings. And right now, they are on a stretch. And it's not just the rotation. It's the bullpen as well. Besides that blown game from Diaz, and I know he found his fastball and he's bounced back a little bit as well. But Maton, like, these guys have been, Buto has obviously had his moments over the last couple of weeks. But still, when he's been in the bullpen, they've done such a good job pitching. And part of the bullpen is the rotation and the innings they're given. And right now, it feels like, because this offense hasn't been killing it, it's had its moments, but for the most part, they're still not scoring a ton of runs here. They're still getting shut down on any given night. They're still not coming through with runners in scoring position. They've been able to win in a way I didn't think the Mets could win. I didn't think the Mets could go on a 5-game winning streak based on their pitching. I didn't think the Mets could make up 3 games against the Atlanta Braves in late August, early September, doing it strictly on their starting pitching. I didn't think that was plausible. I didn't think they had that kind of team. And here they are, Severino last night. You've seen, obviously, what Manaea and other guys have done. Peterson has been incredible for this team. But Severino, too, there's another one where, you know, 3 weeks ago, three weeks ago, we were all concerned about the innings limit, right? He had that stretch of 2 or 3 down games. He didn't pitch well, and it felt like he hit this wall. And we were talking about, Fliegelman were talking about it. Oh, man, that was why, you know, you had the opportunity to trade him at the deadline. He hasn't seen innings like this since 2018. I did show and show after it. Every Met talking point was about how important Severino is and where he is with his innings, and he hasn't been this since 2018, and we're concerned about where he's going. Well, he has answered every single question. He hit a brief wall, and he has bounced back in a big way. And this starting rotation is giving you innings, it's giving you quality, it's winning you games. Yes, against some bad teams, doesn't matter. Against good teams, too. And what started off as a team that worked its way back, bludgeoning you and scoring a ton of runs, and this offense, and you know, obviously Nimmo's cooled off big time, and Alvarez clearly to the point where Torrens has now played 2 games in a row. And pretty much, I mean, four is bad a little bit because of Alvarez's struggles, but mainly because of how good he is throwing runners out, and especially when you're going to play these young, fast teams, you know, like the Boston Red Sox, who stole 9 bases one night against the Yankees earlier in the season. Like, the offense has still been okay, but it's not been what's the driving force. And I didn't think they had another driving force except the offense. When they went on that run after the meeting, when they went on that long stretch of winning baseball, bludgeoning the good starting pitching, we talked about it, right? They beat up good starting pitcher after good starting pitcher. Imanaga, they took care of in Chicago. You know, they took care of, in San Diego. They went through the God knows the Yankees starting pitching, whether it be Cole, who we'll get to in a little bit, 888-808-1019. Cole, Luis Gil, like they just went through everybody like a hot knife through butter. And that offense with obviously Vientos having his major season and, you know, stepping up and becoming the third baseman for this team, or obviously Lindor, what he's done, Jeff McNeil coming back after the All-Star break and getting little positives like Iglesias, who's still coming through with big-time clutch hits. And, you know, Bader, who's cooled off but had his best offensive season of his career. Just Taylor, everybody come, like everyone having the best year of their career, and this offense was carrying them. And that's what you thought was the only way they could do it. And as we head down the stretch, and as they're about to make this playoff push, as they are now a half a game back, holding off the Cubs, trying to catch the Atlanta Braves, this Met team is showing a versatility I didn't think they had. I knew they could score. You know what? I'll even give you this. I felt like they've had guts. Right? This isn't the first time they've shown you guts. It isn't the first time they've bounced back off a terrible loss. I felt like this team had the compete level in them. Right, they're down, they lose the first five games, they have that miraculous win, then they go on a little bit of a tear there. Then they have the disastrous West Coast trip, they're terrible, they have the meeting, they come back from that. They've had brutal losses along the way. I've seen the resiliency. It's important. It's something that's going to help carry this team and makes you feel good about this team. But what this stretch in particular has shown me, at least right now, and I expect it to continue, is that they can pitch. They don't have to score a ton of runs. And if you are going to find a way, because I still believe in the Atlanta Braves and their schedule moving forward here until they go on the, until they welcome in the Dodgers, they got the Rockies, they got the last place Blue Jays, they got a quick one game against the Reds, then they got two in Washington. That is a little bit of an easy stretch here as opposed to three, as opposed to four games against Philadelphia. If you're going to catch this Atlanta Brave team, if you're going to do what the 2022 New York Mets could not do, you are going to have to do it in a multitude of ways. And yes, Diaz is going to have to be steady at the closer position. And yes, this offense is going to have to score runs, but you know what? You needed something to carry when the offense doesn't score runs. And this starting pitching, including Severino, who we were all scared about 2 weeks ago, has completely answered every question. Manaea has been unbelievable. Peterson has been great, and now Severino's on a roll. To go along with the ability of this bullpen, who has completely turned it around, and you feel so much better about a handful of guys in this bullpen. Right now, the Mets are showing an ability to win games in every which way. And if that's what they're going to have to do, if they're going to want to beat the Atlanta Braves, and that's what they're going to have to do if they're going to want this season to culminate in really, I'm sorry, I also don't want to hear this. Let's just be fair. This Met team has to make the playoffs. All right, I don't want to hear this meaningful baseball. I get it. And maybe in 2 months, 3 months, you'll be able to tell yourself that as the start of the season when you steal Juan Soto from the Yankees and you're getting ready and they spend a $1 billion in the offseason. Maybe you can look back at this year and go, hey, they were playing meaningful games late in September. Hogwash. This team was in the playoffs. This team was right there to become the first wild card. This team is good enough to be a playoff team in this National League. And if they're going to do it, it's going to take every aspect of a team to do it. And right now, that's what they're showing you. They're showing you more. They're more than a potent offense. They're more than a resilient group. They've got multiple ways to beat you. And that's what they're going to have to do if they're going to get to the promised land, which, by the way, make no mistake, they have to get there. To me, the season's a disappointment. Things change. At the beginning of the year, could you sell me on important September games? Sure. When they were 11 games under 500, could you sell me on important, meaningful September games? Yeah, you could. When they win the first two games of a four-game set against the Braves and are a half game out of taking over the first wild card, securely in the playoff spot, things change. And this Met team has to find a way to get into this postseason, has to give itself a chance with this offense, this starting pitching, this resiliency, this special kind of season, whether it's Grimace, whether it's, oh my God, whether it's Hock to a Girl, whatever other stupid stuff we want to talk about, instead of just focusing on the idea that the Mets are playing good baseball, whatever kind of magic, all the bit players and role players who are having career years, guys like Iglesias who step up and become key members of this team, all this magical stuff that's happening, it's not good enough just to have a nice little season. Now, once you get to the postseason, yeah, that's gravy. No one's expecting you to win the World Series. But you know what? I've said it enough as a Yankee fan, it's a crapshoot. And as you watch them play and take two out of three from Arizona, who's been as hot as anyone in baseball, and you watch them split a series with San Diego, and you watch them chase down the Atlanta Braves, why not the Mets? Why not the Mets? 888-808-1019. We'll take your Mets phone calls to start. We'll get to the Yankees. We'll get to last night's victory, the poor play against the under 500 teams in August. And of course, we will get to the roster construction and why a certain someone is still in AAA. 888-808-1019. And of course, we'll get to the football as we get through the show as well. Football season's about to start. I'm going to save the picks and everything, but we'll get into some things. There's a video, too, for Jet fans that I want you to hear. I want you to hear a certain someone talk about your team, and maybe it'll help you get excited. Maybe there's this certain someone who's been on the opposite side, who has nothing but praise to heap on this offense of the New York Jets. See how you feel about hearing.